Shall we pray? Father, we thank you and we bless your holy name for this opportunity that you are granting us to be in your presence. And we pray that, Lord, you may speak to us even as you speak through me, using me as a vessel in your hands. In Jesus' name I do pray, amen. Amen. You may take your seat. It is such an honor and a privilege to be here one more time after a long time. And God has been gracious to us and to you as well, I believe. And praise be to his holy name. And thank you to the leadership of the church for inviting us and also allowing us to share the word with you this morning. This week has been a blessed week. It has been a week in which we've been teaching and encouraging each other through the scriptures, understanding and trying to know the Holy Spirit. It has been a very enriching experience. And because of the time we have this morning, I may not take a long time to explain what we saw during the week, but I want us to go straight in the Word of God that we are sharing this morning. And we are talking about some major works of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In simpler terms, I would say the Holy Spirit with me, or the Holy Spirit and me. How does the Holy Spirit work in my life, and how the Holy Spirit works in your life as a disciple of Jesus Christ? What we have established during the week through the scriptures is that the Holy Spirit is not a force or power, as many people think and tend to think. But we said and confirmed this through scriptures that the Holy Spirit is God, but God living in us and operating through us here on this planet. Hallelujah. Because Jesus, as he was leaving, he did not want to leave behind weak and helpless believers. So he promised that I'm going to the Father, but I'll send you a counselor and a helper who will help you live a strong Christian life and a fruitful and fruit-bearing Christian life. So this is what we're going to consider very fast in few scriptures. And so I request you to open with me your Bibles in the book of John chapter 14. We read verses 16 and 17. I want to depend on the media team, because the translation I have, I don't like it so very much. So if you have an NIV translation, please help me. Give me that scripture. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. But if you don't have it, meanwhile, I can read this. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The following: even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be with you. That is the translation I was avoiding. Try to find an NIV if you can. So the first major work of the Holy Spirit, as you step into this Christian life with him, is that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us and dwells with us. As a believer, whenever you place your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. He comes and takes place in you. And therefore, he dwells in us. And if he dwells in us, he's not just dwelling and sitting and doing nothing. He's there sitting and living and doing a lot of things. Bring that scripture up again. The Spirit, number 16. I will ask the Father, that is Jesus saying, and he will give you another counselor who will be with you forever. Not for a time, not for a week, but forever. And when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, he has several things he does, several works he does. He tries to explain that in the verse that follows. 17, please. He is the Spirit of truth. The world will not understand him, but you know him, and he will remain with you and in you. So when the Holy Spirit comes, beloved friends, he comes to live in us, help us live the Christian life, accompany us in our Christian life, but also console us and comfort us in all the challenges we live in this present life. I can't talk about the challenges of life in this country because you know them and you live them better than me. Most of you are young people born after 1996. You were born in war, raised in war, studied in war. Some of you getting married in war, starting working in war, so you know it all. Born and bred in trauma, but God helping you to stand no matter what. He is there comforting us in life challenges. He's there with us. But not only that, he's not only helping us, but he's also empowering us to live a holy Christian life. In other words, to live above sins in our lives. He is the one who helps us day in and day out to overcome all the temptations that are in this present life. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, the scripture says that walk in the Spirit so that you may not do what? Fulfill the pleasures of the flesh. Because there is that constant war in between our flesh and the Spirit of God in us. So the Holy Spirit helps us. When the flesh is telling you, give me some sex, the Spirit says, you are a saint. Remember that. When the flesh is asking, take me out and drink, the Spirit is telling you that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. When the flesh is craving for anger and revenge, the Spirit is telling you, no, you are supposed to forgive and forget. That is the war which is there constant in our lives, day in and day out. And so long as we have not surrendered completely to the Holy Spirit, we will give into the flesh. But when we surrender to him, oh, he empowers us and we overcome the sin. Be it anger, be it selfishness, be it whatever sin, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, living in us, helps us to overcome sin. Number two, the Holy Spirit has another second major work, which is teaching us the Word of God and reminding us everything that Christ taught us. This is what the scripture says. When he comes, he will teach you everything and remind you all things that I say to you. Friends, spiritual things can only be understood spiritually. Spiritual things can only be discerned spiritually, because the Apostle Paul says it better and clearly, that a natural man cannot discern spiritual things because they are discerned spiritually. So the Spirit of God, through our meditation of the word, through the reading of the word, through the preaching of the word, help us discern, understand, and not only discern and understand, but also apply this word of God into our daily lives. Friends, Jesus says it clearer, that when the Spirit of God will come, He will guide us into all the truth of God. That is John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13, he talks about that. John 16, 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them all and now. 13. When the Spirit of the truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is a great teacher. We may teach the word of God, we may preach, we may share, but only the Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us and take us through the whole truth of God, because He is the author of this word of God. Remember that during the week I said, it is the Holy Spirit who wrote, who inspired all those people to write the scripture. So in other words, He's the author of the scripture. Therefore, He can explain the scripture better to us than any other person. This is why during your personal devotion time, during your personal meditation time, during your personal prayer time, you need to ask Him, Holy Spirit, speak to me and speak through your word and speak clearly to me. The Holy Spirit teaches us, and He will teach all the truth. I should be open to you. As preachers, there are certain matters in the Bible we don't want to touch because we don't understand them fully. So we escape and run away from them. This is the truth. And one of those major doctrines that we fear to talk about is the Holy Spirit Himself. Because we don't understand Him that much, so the best thing we can do is avoid Him. But He is willing to teach us all the truth. And when He does that, no, we don't get confused. Number three, the major work of the Holy Spirit is to intercede for us, or help us intercede, or pray better. He helps us in our prayer life, in our intercession life. And this is in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. This is what the scripture says. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. Hallelujah. Friends, the Bible commands us to pray, and to pray all the times. And even if the scripture did not command us to pray, as Congolese, the environment and our daily life commands us to pray. Because you cannot live in this country without praying. In the midst of kidnapping, in the midst of killings, in the midst of armed robbery, in the midst of insecurity, in the midst of terrible social conditions, in the midst of terrible economic conditions, like it or not, you have to pray. There are things for which we pray. In other words, people don't pray about. For me and you to eat, you need to pray. Even for food. So this is why, when food is even served on the table already, you'll hear someone pray for 7 to 10 minutes. Because it's a miracle that God has done, providing food. And we start praying prayers which don't exist. Prayers of kind, God bless this food. It is nowhere in the Bible. The Bible teaches us to give thanks for the food, not to bless the food. You'll hear the prayers of the kind, I call for fire from heaven to consume every evil spirit in the food. And then you ask yourself, where did the evil spirit come from? And when you pray like that, and indeed God gives you that grace, like it was with that prophet Elijah, and then fire comes and consumes the ugali and the fish, what will you eat? It is simply because we don't know how to pray. We pray things we don't understand at all. When he gives and provides, we only have to say, thank you for this meal that you have provided. But we have to pray that way because, hey, we even enter in the intercession. Father, even remember those who have nothing. So we are very conscient and cautious that there are others who are going hungry. Which country is this? With all the land we have, how can people go hungry? We don't know how to pray. So the Holy Spirit comes. He comes to help us in our intercession, but not only helping us, but he also comes to intercede for us. Why? Number one, because the Holy Spirit knows our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses of faith. He knows our weaknesses of spiritual maturity. He knows our weaknesses in our flesh. He knows the weaknesses in our conscience. He also knows our weakness when it comes to persevering and waiting upon God. So he comes to help us in intercession. He knows all your weaknesses. Sometimes you even pray and then you doubt your own prayers. You hear someone say, to say mekweli, even this, will God really do it? After you have prayed, and then you cancel your prayers with your faith, faithlessness instead. He comes to us to help us in our limitations. He comes, he knows that we don't know how to pray, or we don't know to pray how to pray as we should. He comes not to like improve our prayers, not even to give his strength or to give it better words, but instead he comes and takes over our prayer. So he prays for us, and he prays in groanings that we don't even understand, because he knows it better. He comes and helps us, number three, in our prayers, because God understands the Holy Spirit better than we do. Anyway, he's God, and God is the same as the Holy Spirit. So he understands better. When the Holy Spirit prays and enters into these deep prayers, God already and always knows where he's going to and what he's about to ask. Sometimes when I think about this, I think about a mother who always intercedes in the family. Whenever a child needs something from the father, in most African families, they go through the mother. And then the mother, when she starts talking in a certain way, the father already knows where she's going to. So you see, Daddy, today the day was like this, and then Kasoki went. So sometimes the father who already knows and senses says, tell me straight, what does Kasoki need? Because I know that's where you are going. So tell me, what is the problem? So it's almost something close to that one. When the Holy Spirit prays in us and for us, God already knows, and he knows it better, and he responds right away, and he responds better. I don't have time to build on that. I only had 15 minutes, which are almost ending. The fourth major work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is empowering us for ministry. Number one, I say the Holy Spirit is so important in our life and so working in our lives because he comes and dwells in us, and he dwells in us eternally. Number two, he comes and teaches us and reminds us all the word of God, all that God promised through Jesus, and what he us through his word, he teaches and reminds us. Number three, he helps us in our prayers, or better, he intercedes for us. And number four, he empowers us for ministry. Acts of Apostle chapter 1, verse 8. Acts of Apostles chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he leaves and goes back to heaven. In verse 4, tell them this. And while with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then in verse 8, this is what he says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus promises his disciples. He says, listen to me, my friends. I am leaving you. I'm going back to my Father. But I command and request of you, stay here in Jerusalem until you be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when he comes upon you, you'll definitely become my witnesses. You will share about me. You will share my word and my work everywhere, starting where? In Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then to the outermost part of the world. And then indeed this promise was accomplished. In Acts of Apostles chapter 2, starting from verse 1 and the following, that day as all the disciples were together, 120 of them, and the Holy Spirit came on them in a very powerful way. Every one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in new tongues, and they shared the word of God as they adored and worshiped God in different languages, and all the people who were there heard them in their own maternal languages. And they were so empowered. Peter, who was the coward and the fearful, becomes Peter the powerful. He stands and shares the gospel, and 3,000 men receive the gospel and accept to be baptized. Almost what we're doing today, baptizing people. people who have heard the gospel, understood it, and accepted it, and they are willing today to testify before all of us that they are dying and raising with Christ. Friends, the Holy Spirit is there to help you and to help me, to enable me and to enable you to live a Christian life, but above all, to share your faith with other people. When He fills us, He empowers us, and He sends us out. We start in our Jerusalem. The first evangelistic and outreach ground we have is our own family. Share with all your children, with all your workers, with everyone in your house, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then go to your neighbors. Then go to your place of work. Then go to the marketplace, everywhere. Tell the world that the world is lost without Jesus. Let them refuse, but after you have shared and told them. So He comes to empower us. And today, it is my prayer for you that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to change your life, and then to empower your life, to help you overcome whatever weakness is in your life, to empower your prayer life, but above all, to dwell in you and help you bear the fruit of the Spirit so that you may look like Christ, because that is the ultimate, the ideal that we all waiting for, looking like Jesus and being accepted by Jesus and called in by Jesus when the time comes. So may God help you. May God help me. May He bless this word for us in Jesus' name. Amen.